It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin has the highest rate of African-American male incarceration in the country. We'll hear if a new announcement by the U.S. Attorney General might change that.
First, we're continuing our series on Act 10, 3 years in. All week, we're taking a look at Governor Scott Walker's controversial Wisconsin budget repair bill passed in 2011.
The bill addressed a budget deficit of over $3 million in Wisconsin by changing the rules for collective bargaining, sick leave, retirement benefits, compensation, and health insurance of public sector employees, among other things.
Yesterday, we spoke with Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach, one of the 14 Democrats who left the state in an attempt to prevent Act 10 from passing. Earlier this week, we spoke to Republican Representative and Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, who's in favor of Act 10.
Today, we have a Wisconsin administrator with us who says Act 10 helped him move more cash into classrooms. Ted Knightsky joins us. He's school superintendent in West Bend Joint School District. Ted, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
When you first heard about Act 10 3 years ago, what was your initial reaction?
I think I had to be defibrillated. My heart
this was big.
Stopped because, you know, we didn't know all of the different rules and the different pieces. And basically what it did for local school districts was it took away all of the rules of which we had lived by for a long time. And as a result, we were left with a real void of, well, what does this exactly mean, and how do we move forward?
And how did the teachers in your district react when the word got out?
Well, I think the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of, we don't know what this means, a lot of fright. People were very nervous because, you know, it unfortunately became a very polar piece of legislation, and both sides were propagating a lot of different pieces of fear. And a lot of staff was very afraid that, you know, there would be sweeping loss of seniority, that people would lose their positions automatically, the laws of which we had lived by for so long, contracts, et cetera, would be gone. So there was a lot of nervousness when that law first passed.
And you mentioned the polarization of Wisconsin politics. Down the street from us at the Capitol, of course, there were huge protests, a lot of teachers involved in those protests. Was it still a civil working environment while all this was going on?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, West Bend is in Washington County. I think our staff is a good reflection of the values of our county and in our community. It was something where the community and the staff kind of stood together in the let's kind of wait and see what happens here. There was great levels of nervousness. But, you know, the West Bend School District, I think it was the first district to go off of a teacher contract into a handbook. And 3 years later, I'd like to think that our staff reflecting upon it would feel, you know, that the daily lives of teachers did not change as much as people had feared that it would.
As you said, the old rules no longer applied. What kind of changes did you implement in your district in that transition from the contract to the new handbook?
Well, I think one of the biggest pieces is the labor negotiation rules and how that changed. You know, what we had to do, you know, we're a low spending school district. We have 7,000 students. We spend less than all of our comparable districts. We have a $67 million a year budget. Currently, when Act 10 went into place, we had a budget of $66 million. And we have not gone up much, but of course costs, et cetera, have gone up. So one of the very first things that we had done was we really went to address our health care costs and how we could approach that. Like many school districts, we had to freeze our pace lanes and schedules to be able to work with the new money that we had received, because our budget had been reduced between Act 10 and the new funding formula by $3 million. And in years prior, our spending had been reduced under both governors. But one of the very first things that we had done was we addressed our health care. And we're proud to say that right now, you know, our budget used to be about 76-77% was on staffing and 24% on supplies and operations. And now we run a margin of 70-30%. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the West Bend School District has an on-site health care clinic. We got out of the being trapped in the different health care rules, et cetera. And now for our employees, we offer free primary care for them, their spouses, and children if they're on our health plan, as well as their pharmaceuticals. And it's something we've talked about often. I don't know how we would have been able to negotiate that because, of course, there was an increase in costs for their insurance deductibles, but we can avoid the whole all of those costs for staff by having this on-site healthcare clinic. So it's one of the innovative ways we approached the new rules and as they say, the tools that we were given in the district.
I was going to bring up that word. Governor Walker sold Act 10 in large part as providing school districts and local units of government and others the tools to be flexible and to solve their budget problems. It sounds like you think those tools were helpful and successful.
Well, you know, all the new rules, you had to, if you don't play by the new rules, you know, you're going to be in an odd position. And where we were at was prior to Act 10, I've been in the West Bend School District 11 years in different roles from being a principal to an assistant superintendent, now superintendent. Every year prior to Act 10, we were reducing staff, cutting programs, and trying to keep up with our costs to meet the needs of the contract. And Once Act 10 came into place, our budget was again reduced, but we didn't reduce any staffing or programs. We didn't impact kids. And now our talking point is if we can get more efficient and be innovative, we only have so much money every single year, but if we can move, as you said in the beginning, if we can move more cash into the classrooms, you know, we can sustain and maintain great staff, and we can increase programming for kids and put our children in a better position to be competitive in their global society.
Speaking of sustaining and maintaining staff, there was talk of a lot of teachers maybe a few years from retiring sooner, schools having a harder time retaining experienced staff. What's been your experience in West Bend?
Well, the year Act 10 went into place, we saw a large amount of staff retire. And, you know, I'm married to a teacher. My mother's a teacher. My mother was a kindergarten teacher and was very nervous about, you know, all the things she kept hearing was that were going to happen, that they weren't going to have retirement dollars, they weren't going to be able to have their medical benefits, and she retired. And that happened here in West Bend. We had a large percentage of staff who are eligible for retirement retire. But at the end of the day, what's now happened, because people aren't under 10-year contracts, is when we do have a job opening, the game is different now. You know, it's not just new hires or relocates. It's people who have taught for a decade or two in another community but live here who then apply for a job here because seniority is not a concern for them anymore of, you know, if I leave, I'm going to lose my job because, I don't get that. And vice versa. We have staff members from the West Bend School District who are leaving because they are more in a more competitive position. They're, you know, a 12-year veteran English teacher is very valuable individual, and if we can hire that to replace a retiree or a new position, that's what we go for. So that's one of those unforeseen consequences that is a real positive for staff because they can take their valued services. And I believe that teachers' value has gone up now because when we have a 10-year or a 15-year staff member come in and say, hey, I have a job offer in a neighboring community, they're going to pay me this. We now negotiate that. And before we didn't. It was, this is what you pay, and this is what we negotiate, and this is what it is. And now individual teachers have a greater flexibility in their pay.
There was talk during the Act 10 debates, and since then, of the divisiveness of the debates, breaking up friendships, making some awkward family relationships. You're married to a teacher. Your mom's a teacher. Were there awkward moments there?
Well, yeah. You know, being a superintendent, and my wife is a seventh grade language arts teacher in another community, she'd come home and she would say, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. I'd say, no, it's not. First of all, that's unethical, and who would do that, and why would that? And my wife and I, you know, I have a great marriage. I've been with her 20 years, and I had spaghetti sauce flung at me a couple times when I would say, you know, that's just an unfounded thing, and no, it's not. And same thing with my mom. You know, when my mom and I were talking, and I was telling her, you don't have to retire. You don't have to worry about that, because she didn't want to retire. She was afraid to stay teaching. And I kept saying, no, you don't have to. And 3 years later, you know, is it better than it was before Act 10? That's up to individuals to say. But many of the things that people were so afraid of did not come to fruition. And, you know, not everyone in my school district would disagree with my comments, but at the end of the day, everyone who worked here last year works here this year, and new staff. And we take great pride in the fact that, you know, we're sustaining our programs and keeping our teachers. Where in the pre-budgetary crises that we were in year after year after year, we were cutting whole programs for students and whole departments. And I hope we never go back to that.
Do you think things look different now from the perspective of your students there?
Yes, because they have a brighter future. You know, they're not there each year prior. You know, a kid would go sign up for courses and not know if, and a family would sign up for courses and not know if they were going to be there. You know, now I know what our budget is. You know, especially being in the second year of a biennial budget, I can very confidently say everybody who's here this year will be here next year, unless there are efficiencies, et cetera. But, you know, we're not cutting any programs. As a matter of fact, we've opened up a charter school. We are spending money in different places. We are expanding programming. We are offering more than we have in the prior year. And a lot of that's due to the fact that we look at the dollars differently now because we have more flexibility with them.
And what do you hear from your fellow administrators, your colleagues in other districts?
Well, I think that, you know, that's a great question. I have 423 colleagues in the state of Wisconsin, all superintendents in different regions and different cultures and different climates and values and politics. And I'm governed by a school board, and our school board and their school boards have different philosophies on how to approach this. And our school board is very supportive and, I would say, innovative of approaching the different ways that the rules were rewritten. I'll sit in a CISA 6 meeting with a 25, 30 other superintendents, and you know, I remember being in a legislative breakfast when they announced how sweeping the impacts would be of Act 10, and all of us, our hearts dropped because we had been fighting to keep the school funding where it was, and then all of a sudden, all these new rules, et cetera. And I think it was all up to individual communities and superintendents. Some are happy. Some are very aggressive with the tools. I'd say we're pretty moderate. And then there are those who you know, quote unquote, don't use the tools at all. So I think it varies. But, you know, the herd I run with tends to say that, you know, if we didn't use them, we wouldn't be able to survive.
Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
That was Ted Knightsky. He's school superintendent in the West Bend Joint School District.
Up next, we're taking your calls on Act 10. Are you a teacher or a school administrator? How has Act 10 changed your workplace and your job? Has the Wisconsin Budget Repair Bill touched your life? You can call in and share your experiences at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're taking your calls now on Act 10. Call in and share your experiences at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send your email to talk@wpr.org. Are you a teacher or an administrator in Wisconsin schools? How has the bill changed things for you? How has it affected your life and your families?
Are you the parent of a child in Wisconsin public schools? Have you seen the effects of Act 10 firsthand? What do you think, for better or worse? Has it been good or bad for Wisconsin? Why or why not? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. We'll start things off with Jane on the line in Menominee. Jane, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening all week, and one of the things that I feel that you guys keep missing on with Act 10 is the long-term effect. Sure, you know what, everybody's going to work and doing their job, and I'm a high school counselor. I work with kids. I work on careers with kids. There are very few kids now that are saying they want to be in education. When I do freshman conferencing and the parents are involved, the parents are saying, I don't want my kid to be a teacher. What's gone on, how they're treated, the lack of respect, the political issues that they have to put up with that they do not want their children to have to be subjected to. I think it's a long-term effect that people right now are saying, hey, everything's great. I haven't noticed any change. You're not going to notice the change until this next generation comes up because there's going to be a lack of teachers, and the ones that are going to be aren't going to be as quality as the ones that currently have really sacrificed and done the job. You know, it's like the lake in Menominee here. It looks like crap, and you know what? Sorry to say, that didn't just happen overnight. It happened, and it slowly and slowly has deteriorated, just like what's going to happen in education if things politically don't change.
And you think, I wanted to ask before we let you go, Jane, you think that a lack of interest in going into the profession isn't because of the compensation changes, paying for health care, that sort of thing. You think it's the attitude you've seen toward educators in the state?
Oh, hugely. My dad was a teacher for 35 years. I come from a family of four of the six of us are teachers. My husband's a teacher, or he's the principal. I mean, we get it. We get this. We've lived through this. We've never saw our dad treated the way that we have been treated or that educators have been treated, to be called thugs. I mean, that is so demeaning, and what we went through because of Act 10. And we are all further on in our career. We all have 20-plus years of in education. We're not at a point where we can just throw in the towel and say we're done. Plus, we love what we do. But I have to tell you, this next generation coming up, if you tell someone to go into education, they say, why would I want to go into education and make $30,000 and be treated like that?
Jane, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Dan on the line, also in Menominee. Dan, hi.
Hi there. So, you know, as with most educators, I am a teacher. We weren't pleased with Act 10, but it's starting to seem like that was just the first blow in kind of a planned series. It looks like now there's more and more legislation coming out to fund private schools more and more and defund public education. And I think that this is kind of the long-term strategy of the administration to try to privatize education more and more. And that does kind of worry me.
Dan, thanks a lot for sharing that. We're taking your calls on the impact of Act 10 3 years out. Interested in hearing from administrators of schools or people who manage public employees and public employees themselves. Has this changed your life or is it business as usual as things used to be? A couple lines have opened up if you've got a busy signal at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Anne is with us next in Madison. Anne, hi.
Hi. I was a teacher 3 years ago, and I was actually injured while protesting Act 10 and have been on disability. But I've definitely seen how it's affected our family and how it's affected teaching in general. I have a future son-in-law who would make a wonderful teacher, and he decided against it. He and my daughter both moved out of Wisconsin, and our family, too, is planning an exodus. It's just been really sad to see what Walker's legislation has done to the morale of teachers and to young people who want to go into teaching. But I tell you, from being a teacher and then into medically disabled and needing to use my union to help with that transition, I'd be lost without that union. We wouldn't have a home. We wouldn't have the life that we do have. So,
all right, Anne, thanks a lot for calling and sharing your story. We'll go now to Kate with us in Green Bay. Kate, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think about Act 10, 3 years in?
Well, I am the daughter of a Green Bay public school teacher, and she's very well respected in her community. She's been teaching for about 35 years now in parochial and public schools. And I remember sitting in class finding out about Act 10, and it was just instantly devastating. I mean, to take somebody of that stature and, I mean, just even the pay cut alone and being forced to take on a second job to provide for your family, to put your child through college, it's more than anybody, I think, imagined. And she's not going to leave early because I think it was Jane who said that they just have such an immense love for their profession and what they do. She's a fantastic teacher. She's a Golden Apple winner. And I don't think that the morale has really increased in their district. I mean, like I could just be speaking for the Green Bay area. I'm not sure completely of the situation in the rest of the state, but I mean, in short, it's just been devastating, and it still is.
Kate, thanks for sharing your thoughts. We've got Catherine on the line next in Eau Claire. Catherine, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I serve on the Eau Claire City Council, and I'm relatively new. I've been serving for about a year and a half, and how I see Act 10 affecting municipal employees is really you've got a set of people who no longer have bargaining rights, and then you have employees who do have collective bargaining powers, and it's just really difficult. It can create this tense environment, and how I phrase it is, you know, on the local level, this Act 10 has put good people against good people, so we have to figure out how do we work through the gray areas, how do we work through the law that's already in place, and how do we negotiate for people who don't have that collective voice anymore and people who do? And it's a tough thing. And it's also upsetting on a philosophical level that here we've got the the UN that has passed a resolution a long time ago saying that collective bargaining is a human right, and yet people all across our state have lost that fundamental human right.
Catherine, thanks to you, and thanks to all of you for your calls and ongoing conversation. And you can keep it going on the Central Time Facebook page.